14. Strangers when we meet, high and dry. Atlanta, January 9th, 2011. And here is the long night before three Georgia cops find a dead shark hanging in an abandoned warehouse. And just like almost every single time before, the signalman and Ellison Nicodemo didn't actually plan on sex. But tomorrow, Albany's trap at the High Museum of Art is scheduled to be sprung. And as they say, tensions are high, and any port in a storm, and so on. After their flight touchdown at Dobbins Air Reserve Base, after the drive into the city from Marietta to the Kirkwood Safe House, there was a perfunctory, picked-over meal from some local burger joint called Zesto, grease and ketchup and French fries. When they'd eaten, she disappeared into the bathroom for 15 minutes while he finished off the bottle of J&B that he'd been nursing since they left New York that morning. And then, as if by some silent consent, they ended up together in that squeaky little bed, the signalman clumsy and halting as always, a little too drunk to fuck, Ellison, a breathless flurry of desperation and violent intensity. He tasted of scotch, and she tasted of fast-food onions and apprehension. When she tried to slip his left middle finger up her ass, the signalman hesitated, and he'll have bruises to show for it in the morning. Ellison comes first, just like almost every single time before, and just like always, she comes quiet as the tomb. No rowdy, boisterous orgasms for Ellison Nicodemo, secret weapon X in Dreamland's arsenal of super-classified toys and covert gadgetry. Just gritted teeth and the sudden shudder of her narrow hips. Then, without a word, she climbs off him and goes to the bathroom to take a piss and a quick hot shower and to fix, leaving the signalman alone to burp the worm for himself if he wants closure. He doesn't bother. Instead, he gets up, pulls on his boxers and a mostly clean t-shirt, then cracks the seal on a fresh bottle of J&B. He switches on the lamp beside the bed and reads a few pages from a week-old issue of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, waiting to see if she's coming back, not expecting that she will. She has her own room, after all. But she does come back. And now, half an hour later, Ellison is sitting naked near the foot of the bed, her back pressed against the wall, legs crossed in a sloppy half-lotus position. Her hair is wet and slicked back from her face. She's smoking her Chesterfield and staring at the wide olive-green blackboard that takes up almost an entire side of the room. Some jokers scrawled, "Mr. Spock says relax," in hot pink chalk. Despite her drooping eyelids, Ellison isn't quite nodding, isn't quite so fucked up that she's entirely beyond the capacity for casual conversation, so long as they stay in the shallow end of the pool. She points at the graffiti with her cigarette and asks, "Did this used to be a school or what?" "Yeah," the signalman replies, sipping his scotch from a paper cup and watching her. "From 1922 until about 10 years back, when it closed up and we bought the place. Remind me in the morning and I'll show you where there's a map of the whole entire United States painted on the asphalt in the parking lot. Every state's done up in a different color." "Okay, I'll remind you," she says, knowing full well that she won't. "Anyway, I figure resource management will hang on to this dump a few more years. Then it'll be sold off for condominiums or some shit. Urban pioneering. Gentrification." The way he says gentrification, it's the sort of tone someone else might reserve for a word like leprosy. He finishes his drink and pours another.
"You doing okay there, kiddo?"
In preference to a yay or nay, and only slurring slightly, Ellison asks him,
"You really think she's gonna show tomorrow? You think she's really gonna fall for this?"
The signalman shrugs and rubs his eyes.
"The big brains behind the yellow door seem to think so. Me, I'm gonna stick to my usual wait-and-fucking-see approach. If she doesn't, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. There are exigency protocols. If she does show, though, you're gonna be ready, right? You and Mr. White Fang?"
"I had a dream last night," Ellison tells him, leaving the question unanswered.
"Oh yeah? Anything I should be worried about?"
"I had a dream about a flood," she replies. "I had a dream about drowning. So you tell me, are you worried?" The signalman stops rubbing at his smarting eyes and wishes his visine weren't all the way across the room in his suitcase. He starts to ask Ellison if she'll get it for him, then thinks better of it. He knows that look. Right now, she's in the sweet spot and probably not up for the hike there and back again. Ellison licks her dry lips and takes another pull on her cigarette.
You dreamed you were drowning in a flood, says the signalman. Not to sound dismissive, but all things considered, that's just about the least surprising thing I've heard all day.
Ellison stops staring at the chalkboard and looks up at the ceiling. In my dream, the water was the color of rust, she says. And I was running out of breath, trying to get back to the surface. Only when I finally did, it was like hitting a pane of glass or plexi or something. You were on the other side, on your hands and knees, looking down at me. You had a claw hammer, and you kept hitting the surface of the water, but it wouldn't break, no matter how hard you tried. The hammer just kept bouncing off. You looked afraid, and you were moving your lips like you were trying to tell me something, but I couldn't hear you. I just heard my heart getting slower and slower.
Well, okay, says the signalman. That's pretty fucking god-awful.
And he lights a Camel and blows a couple of smoke rings at the cold Georgia night waiting on the other side of the tall boarded-up windows.
Maybe we should talk about something else. What do you say?
Sure, Ellison replies.
I was just thinking about it in the shower, that's all. I was just thinking about the dream and wondering whether or not she'll show. Well, like I said, Dird thinks so, and they're more often right than not. We know how badly she wants the Syrian dingus. At this point, it's pretty much Jehosheba's holy goddamn grail, the one missing piece in her grand eschatological jigsaw puzzle, and this is the first time it'll have seen the light of day since Albany got their mitts on that ugly hunk of rock back in the 70s. But hey, if she doesn't show, well, it won't be the first time I've been left holding my dick, now will it?
And he winks at her. Ellison laughs. He hasn't heard her laugh in days, so at least there's that.
But I think she'll be there, he says. And we've got 5 crack sharpshooters are gonna be awfully disappointed if she isn't. I mean, if you need them.
If I need them, Ellison nods.
I'm just saying they'll have your back if it comes to that.
Ellison Nicodemo makes a gun with her thumb and index finger and mimes shooting at him. Bang, bang, bang. Then she stubs out the butt of her cigarette against the safe house wall, leaving a jagged black smear across the off-white paint. Was it also the wonks behind the yellow door who decided Jehosheba's actually inclined to worry about snipers and MK-21 rifles? The signalman frowns and sips his whiskey.
I ain't yet seen any evidence put forth to indicate the bitch is invulnerable to having her brains blown out by a .338 Norma Magnum cartridge, so how about let's not start in thinking that maybe she is? When all's said and done, Jehosheba's just another deluded patsy playing step and fetch it for some prehistoric son of a bitch too lazy or conceited or, fortunately for us, hamstrung to do his own damn dirty work. But you get it in your head maybe she's more than that. Well, you know better, Ellison. You know that's the worst and greatest power she's got.
Then maybe you don't even need the hound this time, says Ellison, still staring glassy-eyed at the ceiling.
Maybe not, but that's how Albany says this thing's gonna happen. So that's how it's gonna happen. If it amounts to swatting a fly with a bulldozer, then so be it. Just so long as the fly gets swatted, no one's worrying about overkill.
Ellison sighs and licks her lips again. She's about to suggest that just possibly she and Jehosheba aren't so different, not in the final analysis, not when push comes to shove. Different masters, that's all. Same sorry puppet show. But she doesn't, because what's the fucking point? She looks over at the signalman and squints at the lamplight.
And what if we do kill her? Ellison says. But we're too late. Or it just doesn't matter, and killing her isn't enough to stop what she set in motion. You think all the slide rules and pocket protectors have that covered, too? I think you should try and get some sleep, he tells her. However this plays out, tomorrow's gonna be a long day, and I need you on the qui vive.
Allison nods, and then she goes away to find her own bed. There are three other agents just down the hall, in case she gets lost. And the signalman sits on the edge of the squeaky mattress in the old schoolroom that smells like sex and sweat, mold and chalk dust and stale tobacco smoke, and he thinks about monsters and wonders when it got so easy for him to play roulette with other people's lives.